Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope you, your family, your friends, hope everyone out there is staying healthy. Hope you're all doing well mentally. We are happy to have you on the dose with us today. You know, it is now February, kids. Man, that month of January flew by, didn't it? Yeah, flew by like a root canal. You know, Groundhog Day was actually yesterday. And I'll just tell you this right up front. I don't understand Groundhog Day. I don't get it. The day makes no sense whatsoever. And maybe you're not from the United States or Canada, where it is celebrated, and you're going, I don't know what Groundhog Day is. Well, trust us on this. Most of us that live here, we don't know what Groundhog Day is either. See, Groundhog Day is observed in the United States and Canada on February 2nd every year. And someone please try to convince me that this dumb holiday wasn't just the idea of somebody that had to be completely drunk. Because on this day, the groundhog wakes up in the morning, goes outside to see if he can see his shadow, and it is believed by many that if the groundhog saw his shadow, then there will be 6 more weeks of winter. If he does, and there will be 6 more weeks of winter, then he retreats back into his den or whatever, and he goes back to sleep. If he is not able to see his shadow, then the groundhog remains outside. He's gonna play. He's gonna have a time. Gonna have a few drinks. And people are going to celebrate because people believe that spring is just around the corner.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not joking. That's what Groundhog Day is, in case you didn't really know. I don't understand. Apparently, the tradition of predicting the length of the remaining winter goes way, way, way back. In fact, they say clergy members would bless candles symbolizing the light of the world, and they would give candles to their congregations. They also say crepes were supposed to be eaten on Groundhog Day. Germans actually practiced the art of predicting the winter with a hedgehog. And so when they arrived in the United States, they settled out east in the hills of Pennsylvania. Some of them went up to Canada, and Groundhog Day became the official predictor of when spring would come. Now, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania has been chosen as the site for the annual Groundhog Day event. And thousands of people actually go to the town of Punxsutawney on Groundhog Day for the day of celebration. This year, from what I understand, Punxsutawney Phil came out and he just like looked around and saw all of the nonsense going on up here and was like, look, I don't care if I see my shadow or not. You people are nuts. They were trying to get me to wear a mask. They told me when they picked me up that I wasn't social distancing enough. They want me to put hand sanitizer on. I'm down in this hole by myself. I don't need any of those things. Leave me alone. Tell you what, enjoy the longer winter, suckers. Y'all deserve it. And I don't want to be involved in any more of this. Hey, Phil's not playing. Phil has had enough of our foolishness, and he'll just have to come back next year when hopefully things are starting to chill out a little bit. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show and tell us how much more sense a groundhog makes over probably your political leaders, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydoseSports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydoseSports. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you want to talk about Punxsutawney Phil. Maybe you've got a question in sports that you need an answer to. Maybe you need a little advice. Reach out to us. We would love to hear what it is you have to say. Also, if you're not sure where to find something, just go to dailydosports.wordpress.com. All of our information is over there. You can find the videos. You can find the podcast. You can find the gear. Speaking of the Daily Dose gear, hey, you only have a few more shopping days before Valentine's Day. You might want to get on that quickly, because if you don't, you're going to pay for it the next 10 months. And we know everyone is doing that online shopping. So be sure that you stop by tpublic.com and you pick up some Daily Dose gear. We have a few new designs over there. We have our Daily Dose football and basketball designs up. And the great thing is, If you're ordering clothing from tpublic.com, you can pick whatever color that you want. So go get a t-shirt, go get a sweatshirt, go get a hoodie ordered for the person in your life that you need to cover on Valentine's Day. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and get that Daily Dose gear. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be bringing you our Daily Dose Super Bowl 55 preview. We are actually going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show, going to discuss a little of what went on in the NFL this year. We have some of the top stories coming out right now in the NFL, and we're going to be giving you some of the best Super Bowl 55 betting advice that you're going to get anywhere. I know there's a lot of people out there. They're giving you the information. I'm telling you, we hit the Super Bowl right most every single year, so you're going to want to make sure that you stick around for that. We're going to pick the game. We're going to talk the spread. We're even going to be talking about some of the prop bets that you can make. And we will tell you who is going to win Super Bowl 55. But before we get to that Super Bowl extravaganza, let's talk about a few things coming out in the world of sports. And the biggest story in sports of the past week is the big trade that took place in the NFL as the Los Angeles Rams and the Detroit Lions agreed to swap quarterbacks over the weekend. Now, this deal won't actually be official until February 17th when the new league year actually starts. But here's the deal. The Detroit Lions get Los Angeles Rams quarterback Jared Goff. They get a third-round pick in 2021. They get a first-round pick in 2022. And they get a first-round pick in 2023. Hey, make no mistake, that's quite the haul. The Rams, meanwhile, will receive Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford. Now, there are a number of sides to this story. When we see these trades, everyone, especially in the sports media, all of the fans, all of the people that maybe you're talking to at work or whatever, they're really, really quick to say, well, this team won and this team lost. This player won, and this player lost. But here's the deal most of the time in these trades. I hate to, you know, bring any common sense to this, but we're going to try. Sometimes a team actually does get fleeced in a deal. But most of the time, both teams get a little of what they want. In this deal, there are winners and there are losers, but it's kind of everyone involved. You'll see what I mean. See, the Los Angeles Rams, they gave up a lot here. They traded away so many picks. Think about this. Since they selected quarterback Jared Goff, number one overall back in 2016, the Rams will not make a first round draft choice selection through 2023. That's crazy. That's insane. And yet, the Rams are also a winner. Because understand this, they are contenders right now with Matt Stafford if he is healthy. Remember this, the NFL is a copycat league. A lot of teams like to look around and say, well, what are they doing? How are they making this work? We're going to do what they do. And so the Rams are looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what they did this season, and they're saying, hey, they had a lot of pieces. They had a pretty good defense. They had some pretty good wide receivers. They had a decent running game. They just needed a quarterback to bring it all together. Maybe Matt Stafford can be that guy for us. We already have a top defense in the league. We just need a quarterback. So they got what they wanted. Meanwhile, everyone is talking about how the Detroit Lions are winners in this deal for getting all of those draft picks. Man, yes, they got Jared Goff, but they got all those picks. Understandable. But here's the thing to remember. It is the Detroit Lions. Gonna throw out some names here and you see what they have in common. Mike Williams. Roy Williams, Charles Rogers, Joey Harrington, Titus Young, Javid Best, Sean Cody, Reggie Rogers, Andre Ware, Aaron Gibson, John Ford, Taylor Decker. Do you recognize any of those names? Yeah, they were all high picks by the Detroit Lions too. And they were all terrible. So let's slow down on this thought process that, well, the Lions are just the big winners here. Well, history says that they probably botched most of these picks. Also, remember this one specific thing. Sports general managers, they always feel that having draft picks in their possession, that means job security for the GM. So they look at it and they say, hey, maybe we fail this year. Maybe we struggle this year. Maybe we don't have a great year on the field, but look at all these assets that got us. Look at all these draft picks I have us. I mean, it's just a matter of time before I get this team rolling. I just haven't gotten all my picks yet. So just give me some more time. And they use those draft picks as proof that they're being successful as a general manager. Even though we know, based on looking at Detroit's history, that might not be accurate at all. So don't buy into that. Just because you have picks means you're successful. It all depends what you do with those picks. But here's the thing. We aren't going to know who the true winners and losers are for a while. Because having those picks in your pocket doesn't necessarily make you a winner. You have to draft well, and you have to build your franchise that way if that's the direction you're going. Also, I know we look at Matt Stafford going to LA, he's a huge winner, and Jared Goff going to Detroit, he's a huge loser. Here's a question for you. Have you been to California lately? I think I'd rather go to Detroit right now. I think that actually might be an upgrade for Jared Goff. So let's wait a little bit, and we'll kind of see who the winners and losers from this trade actually are. Let's switch over to college football. We are going to talk a little later on the show today about some of the hires that we have seen in the NFL, but we did also see an interesting hire take place in college football this past week. You know, I told you, like probably a month ago, that I was hearing that the University of Tennessee was in some trouble because of some recruiting violations, and sure enough, they ended up firing their head coach, Jeremy Pruitt, back on January 18th. They would also convince their athletic director, Phil Fulmer, to give it up as well. And then, last week, with a number of available coaches out there, the Tennessee Volunteers announced they would be hiring the University of Central Florida's Josh Heupel. And they would also be hiring UCF's athletic director, Danny White, to take that position as well in Knoxville. Now, a couple of thoughts on this. One, with Danny White there, get ready for Tennessee to be announcing some national championships just whenever. Win a game, national championship. Win a bowl game, national championship. Beat like the number 16 team in the country, championship. Get the rings, we're having a parade. Go to the Alamo Bowl, might be a championship, you never know. Championships are coming for Tennessee, because we've seen that's what Danny White does. But I mean, it seems weird to me that you would go get these guys. Danny White, I mean, I guess he's done okay at UCF. Josh Heupel? That might be the more confusing part to me. What has Josh Heupel done to deserve the job in Knoxville besides looking like a fat Justin Timberlake? Not really all that much. Since he took the job at UCF in 2018, after the Knights had gone 13-0 under Scott Frost, Heupel has gone 12-1, pretty good. 10-3, that's not as good. And 6-4 this year. Do you see a trend? Yes, it's going down. That's going in the wrong direction. Now, I know that UCF has a list of head coaching candidates they're looking at. And I know that they're going to be hiring someone very soon. But I have a crazy idea. Would it be too weird for them to go to Lincoln and ask Nebraska head coach Scott Frost to come back? I mean, think about this. In his final season at UCF, Scott Frost went 13-0. Do you know how many games Scott Frost has won at Nebraska the whole time? In 3 years, 12. I'm just throwing it out there. Probably a little easier to recruit and win games in Orlando than in Lincoln. Might just kind of keep that in mind. One more thing we do need to touch on this week on The Dose. There is one Major League Baseball franchise that probably just needs to be put out of its misery, honestly. Please move them to Birmingham, Portland, Charlotte, Las Vegas, anywhere. Rialto, Olympia, Pembroke, wherever. I don't care. Does anyone whatsoever want the Colorado Rockies? Because I don't.
Hey, you want these?
I don't want them.
Did you see what this pathetic excuse for a baseball franchise did this past week? The Rockies agreed to trade their top player and probably best third baseman in the business, Nolan Arenado, to the St. Louis Cardinals. In return, the Rockies get some magic beans that look just a lot like regular beans. Oh, wait, that's not the end of the trade. The Rockies also agreed to to give the Cardinals $50 million to help cover a portion of the 6 years and $199 million that are remaining on Arenado's contract with the Rockies. Now, many people here in the Denver metro area are furious about this. Come on. The Rockies just gave away their best player for nothing. In fact, they paid a team to take him. And a lot of the fans here in Denver are saying things like, man, the Rockies are so pathetic. They are run so cheaply. They are so sorry. I can't believe I ever cheered for that team. Here's the deal. I cannot support the Colorado Rockies anymore. I'm not buying their gear. I'm not going to their games. I'm not watching them on TV. And I just have one question for all those people.
What took you so long?
I've been saying this since the 90s. This is the same club that let DJ LeMahieu, Matt Holliday, Troy Tulowitzki, they all walked for nothing too. They never do anything in free agency. Yet, the Rockies consistently draw top five crowds to Coors Field. Stop going. Stop watching. Stop buying. I've been saying this for decades now. Glad you all finally caught up. Sorry, it took one of the worst deals in pro sports history to get your attention. But you should have stopped supporting this mess of a franchise back in the 90s when they hung a wild card pennant in their stadium. Because I know this. That's when I stopped supporting them. And you should have too. Okay, coming back. We somehow made it all the way through the NFL season. And when we get back, we are going to be bringing you our Daily Dose Super Bowl 55 preview. Who is going to win the big game on Sunday? Brady and the Bucks, Mahomes and the Chiefs. We will talk about some of the prop bets. We will talk about what we might expect from this game on Sunday. Plus, what about some of the things that are going on in the league right now? Is Deshaun Watson getting traded? A longtime friend of the show, Mike from Castle Rock, will be joining us to talk about all things NFL. Now, please understand this. We actually did this interview right when the Lions-Rams trade was taking place. So we actually talk about those two teams, but it was just before that trade had completed. But I think you will see what we talked about. We did kind of predict exactly what might happen. We are going to get to our Super Bowl 55 preview when we get back. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, a veteran of the podcast by now, Mike from Castle Rock, is here to discuss Super Bowl 55. Mike, I don't know how, but we made it. The Super Bowl is here, but I want to say thanks to you for stopping by first off.
Of course, 6 months ago, there was question as to whether or not we'd even get to this point. And as a fellow fan of the NFL, I'm sure you agree that I'm glad that there were some minor changes, but we are where we are.
Yeah, because there were a number of surprises this year. And I think that we learned, and I think we're learning over this past year, we plan God laughs more this year than ever before. But one of the biggest surprises in this NFL this year, how in the world did the NFL get in a full season? No cancellations. They somehow managed to play every game on the schedule. And we actually got a pretty compelling Super Bowl out of it. Back in September, October, we're sitting there going, I don't know if this is going to happen.
I would have laid money that maybe a 50-50 chance of the season going all 17 weeks without any major cancellations. And there were some changes.
Yep.
We ended up with football literally on every day of the week this year, which was kind of liked it, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you know, hey, Wednesday afternoon football
yes,
out through the NBA finals. So,
right. I'll take that all the time.
Yeah. It was different, but I was happy with the end result as far as getting the full season in.
Well, and now that football is ending, and now we've had, you know, this past weekend, no football, and we're starting to get into that, you know, off season kind of mode. I'm sitting there realizing how much I'm already missing football.
Yes.
Because it has helped us a ton to have it.
It absolutely has. It's going to be an interesting offseason for sure. I think we're on the cusp of historic quarterback changes in the offseason here.
Could be a wild offseason. Let's talk first about some of the hirings that we have seen teams make. A couple of teams have hired new head coaches. We had a lot of head coaches that had to get replaced. Want to talk to you about a few of them. And honestly, if one of them stands out, I'd like to hear who stands out to you. The Atlanta Falcons go and hire Arthur Smith. The Atlanta Falcons are kind of skating on being one of the worst franchises in all of sports, but they absolutely are. They go get Arthur Smith. We'll see how that, I don't know, changes them. The Detroit Lions go make an interesting hire. They go get Dan Campbell, who I think might be able to coach a little bit. He seems like a smart guy. The Houston Texans hire David Culley. Not sure about that hire. He was the offensive coordinator in Baltimore, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars go get Urban Meyer, probably the biggest name on the list. The Los Angeles Chargers get Brandon Staley. The New York Jets might have actually got a good one in David Saleh. And the Philadelphia Eagles get a guy by the name of Nick Sirianni. I have no idea who that is. Of the guys on that list, is there anyone that kind of stands out to you? Are there any of these teams that maybe picked up a good coach?
I like Saleh, to be honest with you. It seems like he did a really solid job. Meyer's going to be an interesting one.
Really interesting.
You know, you've seen a lot of college coaches come to the NFL and really not do very well.
Yeah.
They were very successful in the NFL, or excuse me, in college. And then in the NFL, it just doesn't translate. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, you have some examples. You know, you've got your Pete Carrolls. You've got a few guys. You've got even Vince Lombardi. You have some guys that have done it. But is Urban Meyer that guy? I know this. I know Urban burns it hard. I mean, you had better bring it every single day because he is that guy. I don't know how long that kind of mentality holds up. I don't know if that lasts. I think they're going to be better. I just don't know if it's sustainable. Forget the team. I don't know if it's sustainable for him. He's going to be clutching his chest and writhing on the ground after a few weeks. So I don't know. Urban, I think, is the most interesting of all those. I'm kind of like you. I look at Saleh going, I don't know, they might have got to steal that. And I can't believe we're saying that about the New York Jets, but they might have got a really, really good coach. We know they'll screw it up because it's who they are. The rest of the guys on this list, I guess Detroit getting Dan Campbell, I guess that's all right. The Eagles getting Sirianni, I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know how he gets the job. That's a bizarre situation.
First time in NFL history that all new coaches have yet to coach an NFL game.
Yeah. I mean, suddenly, Vic Fangio is one of the more experienced coaches in the NFL.
That's a scary
which
thought.
Is really kind of disturbing. Speaking of coaches, Mike, we have an interesting situation going on this year. We had a divorce in the NFL this year. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have gone their separate ways. I don't know if it's amicably or not. I can't imagine Bill Belichick is watching Tom Brady going, I just hope he brings home another ring. I think he is praying that his leg snaps like a twig. I can't imagine that that is a friendly departure. Who wins their divorce? Is it final? Do we think that the divorce isn't completely settled yet? Because I'm kind of torn on that. Like, Brady is winning. I don't know if he's playing that well. He's winning. Belichick looked absolutely horrible this year with Cam Newton. So does Brady just win this hands down? It's not even close.
In the small sample size that we've got, one exactly. NFL season.
Exactly.
It's easily Brady.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people said, oh, it was the system. You could plug just about any above average quarterback into that NFL or into the New England system, and you're going to have similar or the same results.
Yeah.
So far, it's proven to not necessarily be true. Now, Tampa Bay, they shoved all their chips in the middle.
They
went
they
all in. The talent that they amassed was ridiculous.
They have
literally
a ton
to get it done this year, and so far they're doing it.
Yes.
The offensive firepower is unbelievable. It's going to be interesting in the offseason to see what happens with the Patriots, because obviously Cam Newton was not the answer at quarterback.
No.
Boy, they really showed how devoid of talent that team really was.
Well, and they had a lot of players sit out, so I'll give some of that. But we've been saying this for years, and you and I have talked about this. The Patriots have made huge personnel mistakes with draft picks, with free agency signings. They have gone out and got guys that have not worked. They have taken really, really bad picks. And you're sitting there going, okay, they got to start losing at some point. And it hadn't quite happened yet. Now, all of a sudden, it hit them all at once. All those picks do accumulate. All those mistakes do accumulate. We know here in Denver that eventually your house is going to crumble. And that's what we saw with the Patriots this year.
Yeah. You know, they still kind of finished strong at the end there, to kind of getting some stuff together. And I think that's slightly towards coaching a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you had to summarize it in this year, it wasn't the system as much as it was really Brady.
Well, and Brady is doing the same things now in Tampa. It took him a little while, kind of like sometimes it did in New England, we'd be looking at Brady in October going, ah, he looks fallible. And then come playoff time, all of a sudden he looks really, really good. So we're kind of seeing those same traits with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. It's going to be interesting to see how that all finishes up. Having said that, in that championship game, I'm looking at Tom Brady going, you look okay. Three touchdowns, three interceptions, not all his fault. And there were times that you looked at him and said, yeah, there's some things that he can't do. So like you said, I think it's a small sample size to say it's all Brady. I think we're going to have to see in the next few years. Here's the thing. I'm watching Tom Brady right now going, there's no reason that guy can't play another 3 years.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's crazy. It's usually
43.
Unbelievable.
46, 47? Is that really that outlandish to think about?
I don't, regardless of what the outcome of the Super Bowl is, I don't see a reason why that team isn't back together next year. Again, I don't know the contracts and things like that, and how many over 1 year or whatever, but my goodness, it's unbelievable what, you know, took some time to develop some chemistry. Obviously, Brown coming in halfway through the year. There are a lot of factors in there, but they seem to be rolling. They've always had a solid defense, so it's an interesting story.
Mike, you mentioned it earlier. It looks like the NFL could see a wild, crazy offseason. I will throw out a name, a guy who is a big-time name in the NFL world and the sports media world. Adam Schefter says he believes 17 to 18 teams could have new quarterbacks this next year. He thinks it will be even more. I don't know if I believe that, but there are some guys out there. There are teams out there. If we just go down the list, how many teams right now are fully set on their quarterback? Maybe 10?
Maybe.
I mean,
legitimately, maybe.
Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Oh, of course.
Miami. Is Miami set with Tua?
I hear a lot of chatter about that they're not happy with him, but he played three quarters of a season. I
think you got to give him more time. The New England Patriots obviously need another quarterback. The New York Jets with Sam Darnold, that could be an issue. I believe Dallas now will decide they like Dak again.
I think it must be a mistake to not.
I did too, because that was a fiasco. The Giants, Daniel Jones, I guess, is the guy.
I think so.
Philly needs a quarterback.
Yes.
Washington.
Back to Philly, though. Did Hurts show enough?
No. No. And let's talk about Philly. Great point. Remember in that last game, and everyone's like, you benched Hurts and you brought in, you know, the backup and you threw the season away and everybody's mad at. Let's be real clear. Hurts was horrible that night. It's not like Hurts was out going, lighting the world on fire. He had like 99 yards through three quarters or whatever. He looked terrible. So slow down on how terrible they did by benching him. He wasn't exactly lighting up the world. So yeah, Philly's got a mess there. Washington, I don't know what to think of them. Because Heinicke looked pretty good in the playoff game. Yeah, I'm not going to base it off of one game, but
he got so much respect throughout the league. Oh, yeah. The way he played.
Yeah, he was pretty impressive. He just played tough.
I enjoyed it. And obviously, honestly, I wish Alex Smith was a couple years younger.
I know. That's the hard part.
I love his story.
Oh, it's amazing.
Unbelievable story. I wish he could play for a few more years. He might. He'll probably be in a backup role. Yeah. But,
smart guy.
They need a long-term answer there.
For sure. So we get through Baltimore, they've got their guy. Cincinnati looks like they've got their guy.
I believe so.
Cleveland seems to have their guy.
Yep.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
they need a guy.
They need somebody behind. Roethlisberger may play another year.
Yes.
Maybe. I think he will.
He looked really bad at times.
Yeah.
He's a big, strong guy, though.
Yeah.
And there's a money issue there. So they got to figure that out because they've got to figure out exactly what kind of money he's going to get.
They may have their quarterback, but it's very short term.
Yes. Yes. Chicago. Needs a quarterback.
That's an interesting one.
Detroit now needs a quarterback.
Well, apparently, because there's a lot of talk out there that they're going to make a deal before the Super Bowl. That's a week.
They might have made that deal by the time this podcast goes up. Green Bay has their guy.
Oh yeah.
Minnesota has their guy. Don't they? Kirk Cousins. He's the savior.
They're financially obligated to him.
Yes, they are. So they better have their guy. All right, Houston. We know the problems that are going on in Houston. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Mess.
Indianapolis needs a quarterback like a crackhead needs a hit. They,
you know what?
They might be a Super Bowl contender with a quarterback.
Top five defense. You put an above average quarterback in there.
Ooh, they're scary.
Yeah. Good offensive line.
Jacksonville will probably get their quarterback.
Yes, it's going to be... I'm excited. We are in January, almost February. I'm excited to watch Trevor Lawrence.
I am too. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I think Urban Meyer will get him started off strong. I don't know how it's going to last, but I think he'll get him started off strong. Tennessee seems to have found their guy in Tannehill. I'm not 100% on Tannehill, but I think he's okay.
Honestly, if you look at the statistics...
Oh, he's
a top 10 quarterback.
Yes!
It's crazy to think of that. He just was not click in Miami.
Right.
And well, when you can hand it off to the man child.
Yes, if you can give it to Derrick Henry, you and I can be pretty good.
Oh my goodness.
Atlanta has some issues. They've got Matt Ryan, but they've got some issues, and it sounds like they are at least thinking about maybe moving on from Matt Ryan.
Yep.
So Atlanta could have some issues. I don't know about Carolina. You've got Teddy Two-Glove, but I don't know if they're totally sold on Bridgewater as he's the guy. I think if a quarterback fell in their lap, they would take him. And I could see that owner making a move.
Yeah.
I think he's a splashy guy. I think he'd go get somebody.
I've always liked Teddy Bridgewater. He's
not
too. A dynamic
No, but he's
quarterback.
Steady and he's solid.
He's always in the top five in completion percentage, but it's a lot of short passes. So
yeah.
He's not dynamic, but he's not going to lose you a lot of games.
Right.
So it would take a pretty big upgrade for them to make a change.
New Orleans Saints, speaking of short passes, Breeze has to be done, doesn't he?
Well, there was rumors that right after the playoff game that he was done anyway.
Right.
There were reports that he went up to Jameis Winston and said, this is your team now. And, you know, he hasn't made an official announcement, at least not at the time of recording this, but I've got to believe. Did you hear? I mean, we all knew about his, I don't know, 18 broken ribs or whatever,
right.
And punctured lung, but he had a torn... labrum, and I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, ruptured spleen and a fractured pelvis. Yeah, he had it all.
The injuries he played with all year, so it's no wonder he could, barely chuck it, 15 yards.
For sure. You would think they are at least going to have to try to figure out what's going on.
They have to.
Tampa has their guy. They've got Brady, so
I think
Tampa's pretty set. Denver is very up in the air with the quarterback situation here. Kansas City has their guy. The Chargers seem to have found their quarterback.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, he looks like he's the real deal. I don't know about the Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Carr is,
there's a dozen teams that would take Derek Carr in a heartbeat.
Sure.
That's one of those situations where if kind of like Carolina.
Yeah.
If you can see a market upgrade, you'd go for it.
You'd go for it.
You're open to it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think it's a priority, but it's a possibility.
The Arizona Cardinals have their guy, Kyler. The St. Louis Rams, we thought, had their guy in Jared Goff, and now we're kind of hearing he's our guy right now, but we're not really sure he's our guy, so they could be up in the air. The 49ers are up in the air with Garoppolo. I don't have any idea. It sounds like they're willing to move and try to get somebody else, and then the Seahawks have their guy. Hey, we named about 10 teams that actually have their guy. There are people out there that are available. Here is the thing I want to throw out there. I'm going to say this. Because I know everyone's Deshaun Watson. Let's go get Deshaun Watson. Here in Denver, we're hearing, well, what if you just traded like a canned ham and like a backup tight end? Couldn't we go get Deshaun Watson? Here's my problem. It doesn't happen very often. Most times when a true franchise quarterback is traded, it's when they're well past their prime. You don't go trade guys that are right in the middle of the most successful career. Joe Montana was on the backside of his career. Craig Morton, Brett Favre, Drew Bledsoe. You might have like a quarterback swap, like we've seen Stabler for Pastorini, something like that. But for the most part, if you're willing to trade a guy, you probably didn't think he was the guy. I mean, the Patriots traded Garoppolo. They didn't think he was the guy. Denver traded Jay Cutler. I think we all didn't think he was the guy. Ryan Tannehill leaves Miami. They didn't think he was the guy. Deshaun Watson is the man. I don't think they move him. I think there's a lot of talk. I think there's a lot of bluster. And at the end of it, they go, hey, here's the deal. You're going to have to hold out and sit out because we're not. Are you out of your mind? We're not trading you. Are you crazy? Do you know how rare you are to find? We're not getting rid of you. You're going to have to sit out because we're not moving you.
That's going to be the biggest story of the offseason.
For sure.
Because it may be a staring contest.
It might be.
Deshaun has publicly stated he wants out. He wants to be traded.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they interviewed the coaches that they wanted to do, that he was wanting to bring on. But
I don't think they did. But the coach that was hired, when they hired him, he said, I'm coming in expecting to work with Deshaun Watson. So they have that in mind. That's another reason. I think they're just like, hey, you're going to have to sit out. You're going to have to prove it. Is Deshaun Watson that guy, though? I see Deshaun like, dude, I want to play. I'm not sitting on the sideline talking about playing. I want to play. I can't see him sitting out.
I hope you're right.
I do, too.
I don't want to see a situation where he begrudgingly shows up and kind of half-ass plays the offseason and, you know, whatever, doesn't care and becomes a cancer in the locker room. I don't want to see that.
I just don't see him being
I have too much love for the game.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting part of the offseason because can you get enough value?
No.
You can't get
enough value for a big-time, realistic, bona fide franchise starting quarterback. There is not enough value.
Beginning his prime.
Just getting to his prime.
Beginning.
Yes.
His prime.
Put him on the Indianapolis Colts and look out.
Oh, geez. With that,
unfair.
That defense.
You don't move him. You pacify him however you have to. He isn't going in. I don't believe he's going anywhere. They'd be idiots. What could you possibly get that would be worth it? Now, here's an interesting thing. Jacksonville Jaguars are sitting on top of the NFL draft. They have first rise to Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson. Would you trade for Deshaun if they would take that trade? If you're Jacksonville.
In most years with the number one pick, I would say no, not even close. This is an interesting year.
Yeah.
There's so many pundits out there that are saying that he is the best quarterback prospect since Luck and Elway.
Right.
If that holds true, I don't know.
That's a tough one.
I don't know.
Because we haven't seen Trevor Lawrence play. We think he's going to be pretty good, but we know Deshaun Watson's good. Like, we know he's good. My biggest issue with that scenario happening is they're interdivisional teams. They're not going to do that. I don't think that happens.
Doubt it.
Yeah, strongly.
I doubt it.
Mike, let's get over to the actual Super Bowl game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go 7-9 last year. Hey, we talked about it earlier. They've got some weapons. They needed a quarterback. They went and they got Tom Brady. Now Tom Brady is going to his 10th Super Bowl. Next guy, I think, is like 5 Super Bowls. He's going to his 10th. That dude has more experience in these games than the rest of his team combined. He's got a ton of weapons. He's got a lot of people to throw to. He's got a pretty decent defense. On the other side, we have the defending Super Bowl champions, their superstar quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, coming off their first Super Bowl victory in the last 50 years. I know we throw this around a lot. This is a storybook matchup. Like, you couldn't write it up any better than this. I don't know if it's going to be a great game, but this is all you would want. The young gunslinger going against the old guy that's kind of on his way out. Who is going to get the win? I'm excited for just the matchup itself.
I am too. Part of me wants to throw up as a Broncos fan watching the Chiefs again looking back to back. And then, of course, Tom Brady, which everybody outside of New England and currently Tampa Bay despises.
Yes.
There's so much that makes this matchup interesting. Patrick Mahomes was in kindergarten when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
Think of that.
That's crazy.
He was 6 years old when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl. And now they're playing head-to-head.
Now they're playing each other.
So let's say Kansas City wins. Patrick Mahomes now becomes the youngest quarterback to win back-to-back.
Sure.
Taking that from Tom Brady. Okay. Yeah. If Tom Brady wins, I don't know. Let's put the bar further away from anybody else to even come close to.
It's amazing.
It's ridiculous. I don't know which way root in the game.
The hardest part for me is whoever you pick, you're going against Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, or you're going against Patrick Mahomes, end of sentence. That's a tough pick to make. But speaking of picks, we're going to make a few picks right now. Because as you know, Vegas is rolling. A lot of people are betting. A lot of people are doing some sports betting. Mike, right now, we're going to take a look at some of the prop bets that you can make in Las Vegas. Maybe your state has legalized betting. You can make some of these prop bets right where you sit, right where you're just on your computer. You can make some prop bets. I'm going to get some prop bets from Mike, get his opinion on how some of these things are going to go. We know some of them have to do with the game. Some of them have nothing to do with the game whatsoever. Here is the first one that we have. You might not realize this. Philadelphia native Jasmine Sullivan will be singing the national anthem. She's going to actually be doing a duet with country singer Eric Church. No idea who either one of those people are, but they're going to be singing the national anthem. Here is the bet that you can make. If the anthem is over 2 minutes or if it is under 2 minutes, it just kind of depends on the singer that you get. I usually tend to believe that a lot of people are nervous about singing and they kind of hurry through it. So I usually go with the under on that, but I don't know either one of these two singers. So I don't have any idea. You going over or under on that?
Yeah,
on that?
I've got no clue. I know Eric Church is a country singer. I don't know if that means faster or slower.
See, that's the hard part.
Maybe typically the country singers go a little bit quicker or on pace, yeah. I guess. And the, you know, your R&B singers tend to maybe stretch
hold it out
a little bit.
Yeah, but, maybe so.
When you're talking about a duet like that, do they take turns?
Right. I don't. And does that make it last longer? I know that's really, really hard. I'm going to go under. Now, here's another one. Do they forget or omit a word in the national anthem? Here's another one. If President Joe Biden is in attendance, will Joe Biden be shown during the anthem? Yes. You know, minus 3,000. No is a plus 900. If Biden's in the audience, they're showing him, right?
I would think so. If you had to bet whether or not he's going to be there, I'd say he's probably not going to be there.
But there's not going to be hardly anybody in the stands. So, yeah, who knows? If Joe Biden is in the stands and he's singing along with the anthem, will he forget or omit a word? 1,000%. He has no idea what he's singing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
But if he's got a mask on, you'll never know.
You will never know. And he will definitely have a mask on. Excellent point. First Muppet character to appear in a DoorDash commercial. Not even joking about this. This is legit. They say there's a DoorDash commercial and there's going to be a Muppet character appearing. The heavy favorite is Grover will be the first one to appear. Cookie Monster is also on the list. Kermit the Frog. I think I'm going to go Kermit on this one. And then the Muppet, the orange guy that everyone thought was like imaginary, Donald Trump. I'm going with Kermit the Frog.
What are the odds on Animal?
Animal would be the guy. Animal would be the guy that I would like to see. The Weeknd will be performing the Super Bowl halftime show. Not sure if you're familiar with The Weeknd. The Weeknd recently has undergone some plastic surgery on his face, and he has torn his face clear off. There is a bet as to which song he will sing first. Blinding Lights is leading it. Save Your Tears. Pray For Me. And then Can't Feel My Face. And I'm not even joking. If you've seen him, he's had plastic surgery. He can't feel his face. 1,000%. He can't feel his face. But I think he closes with that. Color of Liquid poured on the winning coach. How they dumped the Gatorade on him. Leading. Orange.
It's got to be orange.
Yeah. Orange is number one. Red or pink is the next in line. Yellow, green, lime would be number three. No liquid whatsoever because a giant mask blocks the droplets would be the last one on that list. How many times announcer Tony Romo mentions his kids or his children? We know he likes to talk about his kids a little bit during the broadcast. Under one half times is a minus 300 over one half time. So if he says it once, it's a plus 200. Does Tony Romo mention his kids during the broadcast? How many times Jim Nance mentions his and Tony's highly inappropriate relationship?
Once again, just the tip has to get over.
Under one and a half times, over one and a half times is also the odds. Super Bowl MVP odds to win. Patrick Mahomes is leading. Tom Brady would be next. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Chris Godwin. If you bet on Chris Godwin, $100 wins you $2,800.
Wow, that's some good odds. But
we're gonna get to that when we come back because we've still got to get to who is actually going to win this game. Forget the prop bets. Which team is going to come out on top? What is it going to look like on Super Bowl Sunday when these two get together? Mike and I are making our picks for Super Bowl 55 when we get back. Okay, Mike, I want to drill down on the actual Super Bowl game right now. I want to take a look at how we think this game is actually going to go down. I want to look at a few matchups and I want to see who wins them because I think if we can figure those things out, we're going to kind of solve the mystery of who's going to win this game before we ever get to the game. For the record, the over-under on this game is 56.5. Just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. The Kansas City Chiefs are favored by 3 points. At least that's what it's at right now. See what kind of money comes in late. The smart money usually comes in late, but we'll see where that goes. Let's look at when the Kansas City Chiefs are running the football, when they are trying to run. Offensive line is pretty good. Biggest key for me on that front is if running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire is fully healthy because he's been dinged up the latter part of the year and their offense hasn't looked great since he's been out. If he is healthy, it's still going to be tough because that Tampa defense, their run defense is really, really good. I'm not quite as sold on their secondary. Their run defense is really good, though. How do you see this going? KC's run versus Tampa's run defense.
I'd lean towards Tampa.
I would too.
I think that, you know, when we did our mid-season podcast after week 8, 9, 10, yeah, whatever that was, unfortunately was correct in predicting Tampa Bay and Kansas City.
Right.
As a sports fan in general, it's a great matchup. As a as a Bronco fan and as a lot of other NFL teams fans, it's not what you wanted to see. But I think it's going to produce a very entertaining game. One of the things that I said is Tampa Bay's defense. Tom Brady, at that point, was starting to click with his offense and maybe getting a little bit better, but the consistency was the defense, and that's what I thought would bring him here. And I think that's going to remain consistent against the running game.
Right. I think Tampa's defense, specifically against that run, that has been struggling a little bit lately for KC. They haven't really gotten their running game. They have a couple of good running backs. If they're both healthy, maybe it ends up being a draw. But yeah, I do too. I give the Bucs an advantage here. I'll say this. If Kansas City can run, Tampa's in for a long day. And I don't think they'll consistently run the ball. But if they do, yeah, you're in trouble. I think that would be really, really bad. What about when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run the ball? Hey, I like how hard Tampa Bay running back Leonard Fournette is running. He's running hard. We saw against the Packers, you're running really, really hard. If Tampa can run the ball effectively, they can keep Patrick Mahomes over on the sideline. That would be key for Tampa. We know that KC's defense, it seems like every year we're kind of going, well, how's their defense going to be? I'm kind of interested to see how this matchup goes. Can Tampa Bay run the ball against the Chiefs?
All right, well, they've got between Jones and Fournette, two very good running backs.
Yeah, so they do.
They can alternate them, keep one fresh while the other is in there. I give a slight lean to Tampa on that.
Yeah, I probably make it a draw. You know what, though? We talked about Tampa getting Tom Brady. And we're looking at Tom Brady, and he's had a solid year statistically. Obviously, what leadership has brought has been amazing. Right there is a great example. Leonard Fournette. Here's a guy who Jacksonville no longer wants. Tom Brady walks in the locker room and says, no, here's how you're going to do this. And Leonard Fournette has revived his career. Same thing with Antonio Brown. There's what you get with Tom Brady. You get other guys around him going, no, I want to get to where he's at because that's Tom Brady. You get guys to buy in just because Tom Brady walked in the room and said, hey, buy in or else, because he's that guy. I think this is really, really close. I think Tampa will have some effectiveness running. I don't know it's going to be their bread and butter. They're going to keep Mahomes on the sideline all day. I think it's going to be really, really tight. Let's look at when the Kansas City Chiefs pass the football. Will they have some success against the Tampa defense? That secondary might be vulnerable at times. That pass rush might be a problem at times for the Chiefs. What are you looking at when the Chiefs try to pass?
Left tackle's out.
Yes.
That's
could
big.
Hurt. Could hurt a lot.
That's really big. With a dynamic quarterback and a very creative offensive game plan, I don't know if it matters. I really don't know if it matters. You know, you've got so many weapons. To me, one of the biggest matchups is going to be is who's is it White going to be on Kelsey?
Travis Kelce is uncoverable. Spin it however you want. You can't guard. You
can't
stop.
He had, what, 10 catches, 100-something yards or something like that in the championship game?
He had 13. I don't know what you do with Travis Kelce. He is getting in that realm of Shannon Sharp, Kellen Winslow, Tony Gonzalez. You can't stop him. You just hope he doesn't go completely crazy on you, but you can't cover him. I don't know what you do with Travis Kelce. I keep seeing teams like, hey, we're going to shut down the tight end. No, you're not. Good luck. And it's not just how good he is. It's the fact that Patrick Mahomes knows that's my security blanket and I'm getting him the ball as often as I can. If I'm in trouble, I just throw it up to Travis and let him go get it. You know, he's extremely dangerous. He is the guy to me that makes this Chiefs offense so scary, because Tyreek can blow open a play anytime he wants to. But when it's 3rd and 6, they're going to Travis Kelce and you can't do anything about it.
It's almost unfair what they've got there. Being in the division as a Bronco fan, you can only hope when they can't afford him anymore.
Right, because he's just got so many weapons. And then Mahomes is not this crazy athlete. He's not John Elway. He's not that. Why does he always seem to make the right play, though? He always seems to pull out exactly what they needed and just get just enough for... I don't know how he does it, but Patrick Mahomes is amazing. I'm giving the Chiefs an advantage here. I think that they will have success passing the ball. Maybe it won't be every play all day, but I think that secondary for Tampa, they might be in for a long day trying to cover these guys because they've got a ton of weapons, and we haven't even got to some of the other weapons that Kansas City has. They've got a couple wide receivers in Hardman, Sammy Watkins. If he's healthy, and we'll see if he's healthy or not, that's a load to stop in the passing game. I'm going to give the Chiefs a bit of an advantage. What about when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are passing the football?
It's funny. Both offenses have so many weapons.
They're kind of mirror images of each other.
It's unbelievable.
Defenses sometimes are vulnerable. Offenses are really good with a ton of weapons.
You've got Gronkowski and Kelce. Hall of Famer, probable Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
The advantage, slight advantage maybe with Gronkowski is Tom Brady literally knows what Gronkowski is going to do before Gronkowski does it.
Before it does it, sure.
Mahomes and Kelce are getting on that path. The wide receivers for Tampa?
Yeah.
I give them the advantage actually in true wide receivers overall with the three that they've got there.
Well, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, you've got Cameron Brate, who's another tight end that
is yes.
a load. Antonio Brown, if he's healthy. No, they've got a ton as well. And let's not pretend Tampa.
Evans.
Yeah, top Mike Evans. Big, giant Mike Evans. That's another guy you can just throw it up to. Hey, Tom Brady knew where he was going. Like, he handpicked Tampa Bay. They've got a ton of weapons. I'm going to go there. And instead of throwing to all these guys I've been thrown to, I'm going to throw to, like, really good guys. Having said that, here's my concern for Tampa. They make a lot of silly mistakes. A lot of penalties, a lot of drop passes, a lot of deflected balls that get intercepted. Sometimes it looks like Tom Brady and his wide receivers aren't always on the same page. Whereas it seems like Mahomes is always on the same page with his guys. There has been a learning curve with Tampa. It seems like they've kind of figured that out. But we saw a bunch of drop balls against the Packers. We saw deflected balls against the Packers. So I give Tampa the edge on this. When they're passing the football, because I'm still not completely sold on Kansas City's defense, but Tampa needs to have an edge here. They need to be able to keep up with the Chiefs here. So I think this is going to be really interesting to keep an eye on when Tampa has the ball running or passing. I think it's going to be fascinating to see. Can Tom Brady manufacture points and manufacture time of possession? Because it's time Mahomes can't have the ball.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating matchup. You've got the, like you mentioned before, it's 10th.
10th Super Bowl?
Super Bowl.
That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. It's one out of less than 6 Super Bowls he's been in. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That is absolutely ridiculous. So you've got the experience. You've got declining but still good talent with him throwing the ball, but he's never had this much talent to throw.
No, he hasn't.
The year he had Moss.
Yeah.
Was incredible as
Gronk and Hernandez in their prime.
That's when it went 18-0 and then, lost in the Super Bowl. But collectively, he's never had this much talent.
No, he's got a ton. That's going to be really interesting to watch. Special teams might be close. Tampa's kicker, Ryan Succop, has been very, very good this year. Casey's, Herkenbucker, he's okay. Saw him miss a couple times. But I don't know if it's a huge difference. The punters, same thing. Here is where I think special teams could change the game. We talked a little bit about him before. Mecole Hardman for the Chiefs. As a returner, he can be dangerous. We have seen that firsthand. We saw it even last week in the championship game. Hey, all of a sudden he makes a big return, get a 30, 40 yard return, and Patrick Mahomes is off and running. Special teams might be interesting to watch. What about like intangibles? What about coaches? Andy Reid just won a Super Bowl. Andy Reid is red hot. Bruce Arians has not won that Super Bowl as a head coach. Smart guy, highly intelligent guy. Do you give any advantage on the coaching side of things?
Simply because he's been there before?
Yeah.
I do think you have to lean towards Reed.
I do too. My only concern with Reed, you and I have talked about this, don't get too cute. You don't need triple, quadruple, reverse, flea flicker. Just let Patrick Mahomes drop back and find open people and move down the field. Don't try to outthink yourself and outcoach yourself. You have really good players. Let them go play, and you'll probably be just fine. Bruce Arians is an interesting guy. Obviously, great coach. it's going to be interesting to see what kind of game plan he comes into this game with. Is he going to be aggressive? He has always kind of been that guy. We think when he was there with the Arizona Cardinals, hey, they came out and attacked Pittsburgh. They gave Pittsburgh all they wanted. I kind of expect a very, very similar situation here. All right, Mike, it's time. Super Bowl 55, Tampa versus Kansas City. We've kind of gone through and done a breakdown of, you know, some segments of this game. How are you leaning in this game?
If Tom Brady gets COVID and Blaine Gabbert comes in, does Tom Brady still get a ring?
I think he does.
Damn it. Okay.
Pretty sure he does.
This is a tough one to call.
It is tough.
It is legit. Just based on past experience, it is very difficult to pick against Tom Brady.
For sure.
In the Super Bowl. Score, I don't know.
You have to pick a score. We're not letting you leave without picking a score.
Fine. 33-27
Chiefs. 33-27
Chiefs.
Okay, so he's in for 60 on the over-under. So he's saying, bet the over. He goes with 60. I have my score. Kansas City, 31. Tampa, 24. So I'm just under. We both have the Chiefs covering, but if you know Super Bowl history, the winner usually covers. That's just kind of how Super Bowls go. Mike, honestly, I just want a good game. I don't have a rooting interest here. I hate them both, but I just want a good game. I want an entertaining game. I think it would be so awesome if the NFL finished their season with some sort of an amazing down-to-the-wire finish. We're like, man.
There's going to be history regardless.
Yeah, for sure. It's a historic season. It's a historic Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I want a good game. I want a fun game.
I agree.
Now, we haven't really talked about this, but Super Bowl parties going to be down this year. Like,
of course.
You can't have the Super Bowl parties. Is it weird, though? And I know you have the Super Bowl parties. You and I are used to the game is on, commercials, we get up and leave, game, we come rushing back in. Super Bowl parties, you're like crossing paths with the people that don't care about the game. They go running into the living room to see the commercials. And I'm always like, what are you doing? I'm totally baffled by that whole idea, but that's what they do. I'm kind of glad I'm not going to have that. Cause if you've been to the Super Bowl parties where you're like with the people that are asking the questions or they don't
yeah.
It's painful.
Yeah. Yes.
And at the same time, I can't be that guy that, oh, shut up. Like I have to answer the questions, but it hurts your soul
yes.
to be in those brutal, So for that reason, I'm kind of glad we're not having all the Super Bowl parties this year.
It's going to be interesting to see what the commercials are like, because a lot of the normal big, for what, first time in 20 some odd years, Budweiser is pulled out.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything.
It's so many of the big normal sponsors are not going to do the commercials. So
no.
It's going to be interesting. You know, how is the halftime going to, normally they have the fans rushing onto the field and there's
nobody's there. You've got couple of nurses up in the stands or something.
Yeah, side note, I love what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I like that they're giving it to some of the frontline personnel that have been,
but,
you know.
Yeah, it's just going to be very different. I'm hopeful that this is signifying the end of a year that without fans, and then next year, hopefully we can return to some sort of normalcy, but I'm definitely looking forward to a very entertaining game.
I am too. Mike, I have to say thank you so much for stopping by, discussing the Super Bowl, discussing some of the prop bets you can make. If you want to go make huge money, obviously, then you listen to The Dose and you just follow our logic right down the line and you just make your picks accordingly. Mike, I am hoping for a great Super Bowl and a great finish to the season that, like you talked about, we didn't even know if it was going to happen. So the fact that we're even getting the Super Bowl, I'm fired up about. But Mike, with what we talked about in the offseason, you're going to have to come back by because we're going to have a number of things to discuss in the future. Thanks for coming by. Don't, you know, be a stranger. You're going to have to come back by and talk some NFL offseason with us soon, too.
Always love it. Love coming in. Thanks for having me.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be recapping Super Bowl 55 as only we can. Plus, you know, we'll be discussing all of the things that are going on in the world of sports right now. So make sure that you tune into the Daily Dose Sports Podcast next week. And make sure you tell a friend to do the same. Hey, I have to say thank you so much to Mike from Castle Rock for stopping by and previewing the Super Bowl with us today. We always enjoy your visits. And I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel and for giving us positive ratings wherever it is that you watch or listen. But more than anything else, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.